following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hi, I'm DJ3, and this is X's and O's Exposed. Today, we will explore the reasons for team successes and failures this season that are deeper than stereotypical answers like one team won more than the other. Welcome back to our podcast. I'm DJ3, and today I'm joined by a special guest who grew up in San Francisco, a big fan of the Warriors, and has a lot of friends who have helped him with his basketball knowledge over the years, Deshaun Cross.
What's up, y'all?
So today we're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Some background on the team: they have a 57% win percentage since transitioning to the Thunder from the Seattle Supersonics, giving them the fourth highest win percentage amongst all NBA teams. Only four seasons under 500 since moving from Seattle Supersonics to the Thunder, and they've been to the playoffs more years than they haven't. Do you think this is the most successful relocated NBA team ever?
I'd say so. I think that in terms of like most successful, the other teams that come to mind would probably be New Jersey to the Brooklyn Nets, or Charlotte to the New Orleans Hornets. Some others, maybe Vancouver to the Grizzlies. But they're all kind of bad. They're not very successful after they kind of switched. So just a few thoughts.
Yeah, I think typically teams that relocate or move take a lot of time to start having good records, especially because they don't have the players, they aren't able to draft super well. And that's one of the things that the Thunder have been best at. Sam Presti has been in charge since 2008 and has been responsible for drafting Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, James Harden, Steven Adams, Josh Giddey, Aaron Wiggins, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams, which is just so many great draft picks who have each and every single one of them have done great things for the Thunder, have really helped them get propelled to success. And which one of these picks do you think was the most influential?
I'd say out of the ones that you just suggested, I think that Russell Westbrook is a very integral, or at least was a very integral part of the energy that he brought to the Oklahoma City, and even his loyalty to the team after KD left, which was very sad for many fans. Then again, I'm also a Warriors fan, so not for me necessarily speaking.
Yeah. Additionally, his MVP season averaging a triple-double definitely takes him over the top. A lot of people say that's one of the best MVP seasons in NBA history. So Russell Westbrook, I would agree, has been probably the most influential of all of Presti's picks. Presti is also responsible for one of the biggest trade fleeces in NBA history, where they traded Paul George, only Paul George, for SGA, Danilo Gallinari, four unprotected first-round picks, one protected first-round pick, and two first-round pick swaps, which is just such a haul for Paul George, who really wasn't doing all that much for the Thunder in the first place. And the Clippers haven't really been able to do that much with either. So they got a haul for him. And now, as it stands, they own 37 picks in total. 23 of those are second-round picks, and the other 13 are first-round picks. Today, looking at the Thunder, they have a great Rookie of the Year runner-up in Chet Holmgren. Though Victor Wembanyama is doing great for his rookie season, he's currently leading his own team in points, rebounds, and blocks, and he's only 20 years old. He's second in Defensive Player of the Year odds, and he's just had an absolutely astounding season. So, Deshaun, what do you think Chet Holmgren's case for Rookie of the Year is?
He's definitely one of the best, or at least on one of the best teams, and he's a great defensive presence. Young players are usually bad at defense. You know, they're still trying to figure it out, get to know their teammates, get to know the zone or man defense, then, you know, the flip-flop that they do, which kind of comes with a lot of sports too. I know I'm a lacrosse player, so that flipping from zone to man defense can be very hard, especially when there's not a lot of communication on the team. And so just learning the learning process for rookies to be able to communicate, especially if they're not going to see a lot of time on the court, if they aren't promised that from the get-go. Then, you know, but then again, that could also be like for them to want to work harder and get harder to show their coaches that, like, hey, like, I can do this. Like, you know, you brought me here for a reason. I'm doing what you need me to do, and maybe a little bit extra depending on what's going on. But I think that even looking at the Thunder's past defensive numbers, the rookies have not been good by any means. And even Craig Chet, he leads the team in rebounds and blocks per game by a mile. He's even still third in points per game on this team that is actually might have a chance to be a championship contender this season. And I mean, even thinking about it, any other year, Chet would probably have Rookie of the Year on lock. But this season, Wemby is just, Wemby's just doing Wemby things, you know? He's doing pretty good, so.
Yeah, for sure. So now looking at them today, the Thunder have the second youngest team, averaging 23.8 years old. While the Spurs and Blazers that surround them on that list are at the bottom of the standings, the Thunder, they're still doing really well in the West, despite having just a super young team. Most of these young teams, like Deshaun was talking about, have really bad defenses. They don't really have the experience or the communication that they need, but the Thunder are still able to stand strong to compete with these teams with these veteran stars. And each of their stars are 25 or younger, and they also have many players on cheap contracts. So they have SGA locked in for 4 years. Lu Dort has 4 years on a really cheap contract. It's $17.5 million right now. You have Chet on a very cheap contract for 3 years for a player who's going to make just a great defensive impact. You have Giddy for cheap for two more years. And the rest of the depth are on cheap contracts as well due to their youth and because they're recent draft picks. So with all these contracts, you're going to be able to keep this team locked in for a long time, and that's going to be super helpful for them. They're eventually going to need to pay the players, but for now they can go out and get some free agents with their enormous cap space. So Deshaun, what free agent do you think the Thunder should go for this offseason?
I think that there's a lot in the pool, but just one that comes to mind is Paul George. He's had a very significant comeback. He's that player option, but he likely wants to get some type of long-term contract. I think that specifically for the Thunder, they'll definitely have the money for it. And they would love, it'd just be super beneficial to have his scoring ability and his defensive presence on that wing. And unfortunately, Paul George didn't work out the last time that he was on the Thunder, but he could possibly make a comeback. I know that, you know, coming back to the Thunder, it may not necessarily be what he wants right now, but if they offer him something that, you know, he just can't refuse, then of course he's going to want to show up to the Thunder and say a little hello and show the league that he's, hey, and I'm back with my team again. That's just a thought.
Yeah, I don't think that they're probably going to be able to get that LeBron James or one of those big-name free agents signings, but I think Paul George would be swayed by a comeback. And I think if they give him, like Deshaun was saying, an offer that he can't refuse, then I think he would definitely be swayed by that, especially by this young team that's been very durable. So if you look at the rest of the players, Jalen Williams has been a great draft pick. He averages the second most points per game on the team while being only 23, and he has 20 points per game and the second most assists per game with 5. He's shooting 43% from 3, highest on the team for those taking more than 3 3-pointers a game. And Trey Mann and Isaiah Joe as well have been great three-point shooters for them, and they're both shooting more than 40% from three. The three ball has been super effective in today's NBA. You can't really just go for twos, just go for those mid-ranges anymore, but you really do need those three-point shooters. They're going to be able to space out the floor, and having those three guys has been super helpful. Even though they're sometimes more of role players, they've really stepped up. Also, having the obvious MVP candidate in SGA with 30 points per game on 55% shooting, 6 assists per game, and 2.1 steals per game, which leads the league. He's a fantastic two-way player, and he's also been very durable, playing in 71 games this season. So SGA has really been that X factor for this team, and without them, I don't really know where they would stand. So Deshaun, do you think that Shea deserves MVP this season, or do you think someone else deserves it more?
He's a very good player. I think that Jokic and Doncic have been just more impactful for their teams this season, those being the Nuggets and the Mavericks. But you could make the case that SGA, this Thunder team specifically, would not be where they are without him, obviously. That they're in the top three teams right now for the West Conference.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that he's as impactful as Jokic or Doncic right now, but I do think that SGA definitely could get the MVP just based on voter fatigue, or if they look at Luka and saying that his team is just a play-in team right now, I think that he does have a shot. So also, like what you were saying, durability has been a factor for this team with no major injuries. No starter has missed more than 15 games this season, which is absolutely unbelievable. And in today's NBA, with teams like the Clippers having Paul George and Kawhi Leonard sitting out so many games and Giannis sitting out so many games, as well as Joel Embiid. So being able to stay durable and just stay together as a team has been huge. Also, numerous sources have the Thunder topping their list for teams with a bright future, including NBA insiders at ESPN and Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. So would you agree that the Thunders have the brightest future in the league, or do you think someone else would?
I think I'd have to agree that they do have a very bright future. Other teams like the Celtics and the Nuggets have the players right now, but it's hard for them to keep these players after free agency comes up, because free agency, people could go anywhere. You have no idea. Free agency in all sports is just, it's the pool and it's whoever gives the best offer. And so even looking in past championship teams that crumble apart because of the players, as they stay on these teams, they're getting less and less content and they want more and more money as they go into free agency. And while teams like the Clippers are happy right now, James Harden could just be like, I don't like this team anymore, and just dip out because someone offers him more money. Or he wants more of a spotlight. You know, spotlight is very important, especially for basketball. NBA is so big in all over the world, not just here. So I think that right now the Thunder's youth and chemistry is what is giving them such a bright future.
Right, I think the Thunder definitely have that youth and chemistry. The question is whether these players are going to develop into the stars that we want them to. So SGA absolutely turned into a star, but is Jalen Williams going to continue to develop? Is Chet Holmgren going to continue to develop to a point where they can become a championship team, because it's not just one guy? And the question is, can they really be contenders right now? So being the youngest team in the playoffs will certainly bring struggles. They have Gordon Hayward with 16 playoff starts, but he's pretty washed now, and he has the most of anyone in OKC's playoff rotation. SGA, Dort, and Isaiah Joe are the only players with a lick of playoff experience, which is barely anything. And the same thing can be said for the Timberwolves, or their age and Gobert's experience could be the X factor. How do you think this team will do in the playoffs?
I think that they'll be able to beat whoever the sixth seed is, whether that's the Suns or the Kings. And potentially, they could beat the 2 seed, the Timberwolves. But right now, today, as it stands, I don't think that they can win more than a few games against the Nuggets. Injuries are definitely going to change the course of the playoffs. Now, let's hope that no one gets injured. But on the chance that they do, which is very high with the competitive nature of basketball nowadays, if you have Jamal Murray or MPJ injured, even Jokic, I think that they'll have a much higher chance. However, as I was saying, hopefully everyone stays healthy. And then if that were to happen, everyone's healthy, they have no injuries, I believe that they'll make it to the Western Conference Finals at best. That is, unless the Nuggets get upset early by a team such as, let's say, the Lakers.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think that they aren't necessarily contenders now, but they will make a deep run in the playoffs. Thank you so much for being on my podcast, Ishan.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for hosting.
Absolutely.